Welcome to Taking the Rams by the Horns, a podcast that takes current affairs out of current affairs. This is a podcast in partnership with Sowetan Live. I'm your host, Rams Mabote. Taking the Rams by the Horns has been nominated for the 2024 ABVA Awards in the comedy section. You do not need more convincing to use my services at your next event as MC or facilitator. I will save your events from your boring speakers, especially your CEO or the keynote speaker politician. Send your request now on rems at remsmabote.com. South Africa is alive with possibilities. I mean, who would have imagined a former president in jail? A sitting president sleeping on cash, literally. A cabinet minister visiting a common prisoner in jail. Or even the post office operating, even when they have nothing to do.
Can you confirm that delivery performance has dropped?
Welcome to the new Sowetan Live podcast called Taking the Rams by the Horns with me, Rams Mabote. Each week, I will be taking a lighter look at very serious topics that half the time drive you up the wall. This podcast will use humor to take no prisoners, have no holy cows, and cook a whole lot of sacrificial lambs. In June this year, we saw how elections turned the African National Congress from an untouchable novorish at the back of a limousine into a sorry sight of street beggar asking for any little scraps to stay in power. With everyone they could find, they formed what is now called the Government of National Unity. In other words, Nomayini. While the May 29 elections put the ANC on its backside, the real revolution was about to begin. A new politician, honest to a fault, was about to rise and leap forward and defy convention. For the ANC, the elections may not have delivered paradise, but they sure were a bowl of rice for a few politicians who were not about to die of starvation. The year 2024 has condemned some of the stalwarts of the glorious movement into the dustbin of history and time, all with the fading blue lights and disappearance of elaborate security detail. But also an ironic opportunity for fringe players who, in the scheme of things, would not have even made the credits of a low-budget movie. A case of a circus where Coco the Clown is king of the lions and the puppet master has lost his strings of control. This episode is dedicated to the rise of the new politician here in South Africa. For centuries, people all over the world, from kings to prostitutes, depended on politics, an invisible blend of lies so addictive we suffer an incurable bout of withdrawal symptoms when politicians do not use us for their fodder and bait. This addiction to lies made a few good men and women jealous. They could not take it anymore. They needed to be seen and to be counted as the salt of the earth. And eventually, thankfully, I must add, this new crop came to life after the elections. Many of you have vilified them, but in my book, Mzwane Lemanyi, Floyd Shibambu, Colleen Makubele, and lately Bongani Baloyi are the antidote to the bunch of liars that have ruled over humanity, caused wars, traded our souls, and pilfered billions of taxpayers' money, all in the name of all isms of the world, from capitalism and communism to narcissism and optimism. Take Manyi, for instance. First, he left the Black Management Forum to become Director General in the Department of Labor, and then later, when the spineless Themba Maseko was not willing to empty the coffers of government for a pot of curry, Manyi took over government communications and finally delivered everything to India.
Before we could talk, I think that is their culture. Before you talk to them, you eat curry.
And like the biblical Saul who fell off his horse and in delirium changed his name to Paul, our Manyi was no longer Jimmy, comes to Joburg. Instantly, he became Mzwanele. From there, it was downhill. His career deteriorated from being an ever inarticulate TV host on the now defunct ANN 7 to owner of the station for all 3 minutes of the commercial break.
No, look, I think we are selling not only the present, but one is buying not only the present, but the future as well. I think both the properties, the new age.
Forget the fact that he had forgotten whether he had come to this interview as a serf or master. Thankfully, he had only paid 450 million rand in monopoly money, to take over the station and its sister misprint, the New Age, after the Guptas left the country with all the login details. When he could no longer televise or publish news, our Manyi moved to being a newsmaker. Soon, he joined his godfather, Jacob Zuma, the dawn of our politics, and became a spokesperson of his two-man foundation. And for years, all the foundation spoke about was Zuma's successful residency outside the courts. To this day, nearly 15 years after the first indictment, Zuma only goes to court to argue why he should not go to court. And Manyi makes news explaining these valiant acts. But our Jimmy is not a man of sidelines. You cannot one day own heavyweight media houses only to wake up the next day as being a spokesperson of a phantom foundation on the heels of a rural household splendid with a fire pool and many wives of the incumbent. As a media mogul, you need more, and more he sought. Soon, he joined or founded, we cannot clearly say, a new party strangely yet ominously named the African Transformation Movement, the ATM. Another moment of transformation for the former radical People's Banker. This sent Manyi straight to parliament in opposition of the party that once made him director general, the ANC.
I've come to a conclusion that indeed the ANC is tired, the ANC is fatigued, the ANC has reached a point of saturation, the ANC has lost its hegemony, the ANC has lost its moral compass. The ANC is actually now actively reversing our gains.
When he mentioned the word campus, I remember that Manyi never forgets to mention that he spent a significant time of his career at Harvard University, all of 3 weeks or so. But I digress. Manyi stayed with ATM ever so insignificantly until he realized that they too, like the ANC, do not serve his needs. He needed prominence and recognition. And this ATM was dispensing none of such largesse. And in 2023, he crossed the floor to the Economic Freedom Fighters, swapping a white T-shirt for a red onesie and a beret. You cannot find a stronger metaphor for the title fighter. Manyi was fighting for his name, which had lost traction in the ATM, where he spent time fighting for Jacob Zuma instead of articulating its policies.
Zwanele Manyi has resigned as a member of the African Transformation Movement. This is to join the Economic Freedom Fighters, or EFF for short. Now, Manyi says the EFF is the third largest party in the country, and it stands a better chance to take over from the African National Congress than any other party.
Until the EFF failed to live up to Manyi's whimsical wishes in this year's election, not only did the EFF not replace the ANC, but they were replaced as the third biggest party, in the process reducing Manyi to a possibility of another oblivion, a space he fears only more than Jomo Sono fears silence. Manyi quit again, this time joining the Party of the Dawn, the Umkhonto we Sizwe party, unsurprisingly, yet belatedly.
I'm not lost to the progressive left. I'm not lost to the ideology that all of us share. It's just that where I will be in the MK party, there's going to be much more that one can do.
I'm lost. But I don't know why I'm making this about myself. All we should know, as the man says, he is not lost. Jimmy was not alone, though. Before him, EFF's 2IC to the CIC did the, quote, now you see me, now you don't, close quote, trick. In one of the badly kept secrets of our times, Floyd Shibambu quit the EFF to also get into bed with Zuma, as if the latter did not have his bedroom full already. Shibambu, the man who founded the EFF with Malema, was regarded as the brains behind the policies of the EFF, left in what was believed was the unspoken frustration of playing second fiddle to his mate.
I've decided not to renew the membership of the EFF because I will join and participate in Umkhonto we Sizwe party. I am not going to speak here in Winnie Madikizela Mandela House as to what is the basis of that, because that will be tantamount to campaigning already for Umkhonto we Sizwe party.
In one election result, Floyd had removed from his memory more than 10 years of a relentless mission to remove Zuma from power as president of South Africa. In an instant, Zuma had turned from being a pariah of the nation to the only hope of the nation.
And we're confident as the EFF that Jacob Zuma will end up in prison. There's no way that he will survive this one. He might have survived so many other things before. But now we've got him, he's going to be arrested, he's going to rot in jail, he's going to spend the remaining part of his life in prison for the sins that he has committed in corruption and in undermining the democratic process in South Africa.
For Floyd, Zuma had turned from hot air to steam. Steam that could blow him into the air of countless possibilities. Possibilities that were fast diminishing in his right-hand seat to Malema. Zuma, in an instant, turned from a man Floyd spent a lifetime trying to send to prison to a man of reason. And for this, he was gloriously rewarded, just like his brother before him was rewarded by VBS Mutual Bank. Floyd has been made national organizer of the MK Party, arguably the second most powerful figure after the owner, the Don Zuma. Just when most of us were trying to make sense of Jimmy's and Floyd's somersaults, soon we were to learn of two other politicians to abandon their parties for the MKP. Colleen Makubele and Bongani Baloyi, who, like Floyd, traced their upbringing to Limpopo, have also joined the MKP, both quitting the parties they founded just before the elections. Both Makubele's South African Rainbow Alliance and Baloyi's Shiluba did not attract enough voters than Mamelodi Sundowns at their peak. And both the politicians could not make it into parliament, not even in their home province where they claim to command unprecedented admiration. You have to admire delusion. And with one stroke of a pen, in truth, without the stroke of your pen as a voter, Makubele moved from the ANC to the Congress of the People, to SARA, and now MKP. Baloyi moved from the right of center Democratic Alliance to the wilderness that was Shiluba and now the far left MKP. Talk about a man who gave himself flowers while alive. Get it? It did not matter that only a few months ago Makubele wanted to reintroduce the policies of Zuma's own nemesis, Thabo Mbeki.
Sara Gia, we borrowed it from President Mbeki. And we have improved on it because conditions have changed in which the previous gear was implemented, 1996 to 2008. If you look at where the country has gone since 2008 to 2009, we've got high debt, unsustainable deficit in our fiscus.
When she could not get your vote, she changed gear. This is the same with Baloyi, who, when the DA could not reward him with a better position after turning the Midvale City Council, of which he was mayor, into the most successful municipality year after year, he followed his brother Herman Mashaba, another man who traces his ancestry to Limpopo, and joined Action SA.
Look, ask any South African Alexandra what the DA stands for, and if they'll tell you, if they'll be able to identify it within the ideological spectrum. South Africans want water, my brother. they want sewer, they want those things, they want pragmatic government that's able to resolve the issues of the day. That for me is a pull factor. And I'm happy to come into a vehicle that's unencumbered without any baggage, but a genuine vehicle that's able to pull across South Africans as demonstrated currently.
But soon, Balwe found that Action SA had all but action. He needed some action. And like his homeboy and homegirl Floyd and Colleen, and like his chameleon role model Mzwanele Manyi, he skipped into the MKP. It did not matter that this was the party led and owned by the man who, when he was in the DA, represented everything abominable and disgusting. And that, for me, my dear friends, is what makes Manyi, Shibambu, Makubele and Baloyi honorable. Unlike the rest of nearly 400 of their colleagues in the hallowed corridors of parliament, these are the only politicians you can call honorable and honest. They are true only to their stomachs without hiding it. Unlike the rest who lie in public and instead do the opposite in private. South Africa and the world deserve this type of politician who is always showing us their true colors and who takes care of their stomach openly. The time of lying politicians must come to an end. And this is just the beginning. Do not be shocked when these four one day quit the MKP for another party that will take care of their needs.
Thank you very much if I can laugh, because I will always laugh.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Taking the Reins by the Horns. Download the My Sowetan app and listen to more of my podcasts. We are also on Spotify. Follow us on X at Rems by the Horns and at Sowetan Live. Please send your comments to me via email on rems@remsmabote.com. Let me know what you think of the podcast. From me, Rems Mabote, good night and God bless.